The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Okay, as always at this time of the week, we have recommendations of what to watch on the big screen and small this weekend, joined by Serena Bellissimo, entertainment journalist, and John Fardy, presenter of Screen Time on News Talk. Serena, let's go with you first. What is your first recommendation?
I'm going to start with something really unlikely. It's called Untold. You know, Netflix have this Untold series where they look at different sports people. Well, the sports person we're looking at today is Ray Gunn, and it's titled Breaking Bad. Go on, tell me why.
Oh, I am in ecstasies about you doing this, because I remember the summer of 2024. I remember the Olympics, and I remember Ray Gunn, and how we, for some context, at the time my son was going out with an Australian girl who was a hip hop dancer and very good. Mm-hmm. And she was so beside herself with fury mm-hmm. at Ray Gunn's embarrassingness mm-hmm. that when you said you were covering this, I was just in ecstasies. And I love, because I read the blurb, it said how she struggled with imposter syndrome. And I was thinking, no, she's just an imposter. Yeah. She was one of the worst dancers I've ever seen in my life.
Sorry, can I just ask, because I this story passed
this
me by.
A scandal in the Olympics.
Is she to breakdancing what Eddie the Eagle was to downhill skiing?
Was Eddie bad?
Or ski jumping. Yeah.
He was very bad, but people loved him.
People did not love her. Like this was terrible.
So I don't know how you missed it, because it was everywhere. Shake down to like, even to the point where she was appearing, or she wasn't appearing, Jimmy Fallon did a take, a sketch on her. Rachel Dratch appeared on set and did Ray Gunn doing her
and
act.
You would know it was her because she just kind of rolled around the mat and then hopped around with bunny ears and stuff. And it was...
Oh, no, kangaroo.
Kangaroo, my apologies. Hilarious.
Is it an Olympic event that deserves to have the piss taken out of it?
Do you know what? It did.
Breakdancing in the Olympics?
Well, you should have seen the other dancers.
I did. I watched back the video there today.
And this is the problem, right? So the problem is, for anyone who doesn't know the story, every time a new city hosts an Olympic Games, they get to introduce a sport. They introduced... breakdancing, like, you know, there was BMX recently. There's all these sports that you go, that's not really a sport. And then you get into it. Now, breakdancing, the skill level is huge. In order for Australia to have made it there, there was an Oceania competition. So it wasn't, Australia weren't guaranteed a spot. Ray Gunn, I do not understand how Ray Gunn won her spot legitimately to go and represent Australia.
You should have seen the Kiwi.
But you know what? I have seen some others break. There's some great female breakers in Australia, in Oceania. I don't know how she got it. For a while, there was this whole conspiracy theory that her husband got her a spot on the team. It wasn't that. So it's all about this and why she did what she did and how she felt so out of her league when she realised, she was like, I got the spot at the Olympics. This is great. And then she starts trying to do some other tournaments beforehand. She's like, she's not winning any of them. She's not even qualifying. And then she gets to the Olympic Games. And she scored nil point in all three rounds, right? And when she got to her third round, she went, I've got to do something different. And her husband really wanted to represent Australia in this. So Australians are known for their swimming. So she did this swimming move. She hopped like a kangaroo. She did the sprinkler as one of her finishing moves. And I think, look, this is a great documentary because you do, like, I told Australian friends that I'm watching this and they're still so furious. I'm said to them, watch it, find out a bit more about her. But everyone feels like she ridiculed not only Australia, but she ridiculed the sport, because even if she didn't do those ridiculous moves, she was never tight. She was never great.
The weird thing was that she, you're quite right, that she qualified at all. And Shane, I watched some of her and found it hilarious, truthfully. But then I went, well, maybe that's what breakdancing is. Maybe I don't really understand what breakdancing is, because I remember it only from back in the day. So I went then and looked at some of the competitors. And oh man, they were like backflipping and spinning on one finger, and they were gymnasts, basically.
And she could do some of that stuff, but not well, Ciara. Like, there was no skill. And I think it's almost like, I was thinking about this while I was watching it. It's almost like saying, we've got a swimming competition, yeah? And we're going to send our synchronized swimmer to do the 100 butterfly. Right, it's the same thing. They're in the water, because she kept calling it was a creative interpretation, but that's not breakdance. It is creative, but not the way she did it.
So does it work as a? Because I mean, it's funny. Eddie the Eagle film really worked. I really liked it as a film. Does this work as?
I came to really feel for her, to get to know her as a person. They never had any malice going into this.
No, of course not.
The thing is, the way this documentary has been done, because Richard Branson reached out to her and was like, "I love that you're, you know, being creative. You're breaking out of the box."
she got slammed. I mean, the backlash was enormous.
She's going to hiding for 2 months. I think I saw
a line in the trailer where her parents are asked, did you ever associate the Olympics with her? And her dad just bursts out laughing.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it didn't sit well with me though.
No, because I think she never saw herself going to the Olympics either, because breakdance was never a thing. I just think when her and her husband watch this, they're so delusional when it comes to her skill. Not her as a person. She comes across as a lovely person. But thinking she's a great breakdancer, she's not. And I think this is going to – she thinks that people – really think that she's amazing, and good on her for being herself. Yeah, but she should never have gone to the Olympics. You're better off sending nobody.
This
70 minutes. That's all it takes, and it is good.
Bit of fun.
Maybe Netflix.
A bit of fun.
I'm not watching that. Sorry, I didn't watch the breakdance. I'm not watching this.
I want to see her kangaroo hop again. John, what do you got?
Yeah, so there's something very different. A film called The Death of Robin Hood. So Robin Hood has been on screen many times. You know, if you're thinking Kevin Costner. You know, Mel Brooks, Men in Tights, even the TV show Robert of Sherwood. This is not that. This is kind of a deconstruction of the Robin Hood motif. It's based on, I think, something from the 12th century called The Ballad of Robin Hood. And it is Hugh Jackman as this kind of bruised and battered Robin Hood at the start, who's not even owning up to being called Robin Hood. And he's kind of on one last job. And it's his... He's looking back on his life of what they claim in this was, in essence, pillaging and killing. And he's spending his days having the kin of the people he killed come and look for him. He nearly dies. That's not a spoiler. And the movie goes to him being on this kind of island, a place called the Priory, not the rehab place in London, but in a weird kind of way, it is a bit like that, because Jodie Comer plays this kind of almost witch doctory angelic type of woman who set up this kind of commune for lost souls. And he's there, angelic-like witchy doctor who's going to try and heal all these lost souls. And he goes to this priory place and continues to look back in his life, forms a friendship with a young girl. And it's this kind of questioning narrative about the violence of Robin Hood and the violence of kind of maybe the British Empire, all sorts of stuff. It's a fascinating watch, but it's not a Robin Hood movie in the way you might think it would. Have you ever seen the movie Logan, where he plays Wolverine?
Yes.
And he's looking back on his life and doesn't want to be Wolverine anymore? This is him doing it in a much darker way with Robin Hood. He is brilliant in it. But if you're expecting, tally ho, Little John, this is not that. No, none of that is really
Michael
violent
Praed,
in places.
In my humble opinion, was the finest of the Robin Hoods.
But Hugh Jackman in this is brilliant. He's he reminded me of Richard Harris or something, looking back as this kind of bruised Lion in Winter type of
guy. So where to watch?
Absolutely. Now, as I say, but go in knowing that this is kind of it is very violent and action-packed at times, but it's also a brooding piece.
It sounds really good.
I might just mention...
I think you should.
Sorry, I've been waiting to say this. I flew to London yesterday to interview him, and he was in great form, and he talked all about this and The Greatest Showman and filming this in Belfast. And I asked him if he had regrets in his own life. He gave me kind of a weird answer, because this is a Robin Hood full of regret. And I asked him about regret in his own life.
Good question.
He was kind of slightly taken aback. I felt like Barbara Walters. Can I just ask
his marriage of several decades ended not that long ago.
So maybe I touched an nerve.
I've met him once.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I was in New York. I was literally walking by. I wasn't even at whatever. I think it was The Greatest Showman, the stage show on Broadway. But as I was walking by, he came out the stage door.
Wow.
And it was during the pandemic. He had a mask on. Actually, I didn't have a mask on, but he kind of, and everyone was like, "Oh my God,
Hugh
Jackman!"
Wolverine mask.
He came over and he was fist bumping and kind of elbowing people, and he looked at me and he said, "How are you?" And I went, "Ireland," like that, which was, and my to this day my daughter still, who's standing beside me, goes, "What do you mean Ireland?" I don't know what I meant. I should have said, "Great, how are you?" I said,
"Starstruck."
He said,
"That is quite
yes."
Literally
he said, "How are you?" And I said, "I actually squeaked Ireland like that," which made no sense.
Yeah, well, it's very honest of you to admit that. My interview went a lot better. Yeah.
You
cool,
asked,
calm,
you asked better questions. In fairness,
actually,
That's coming up this Saturday.
This Saturday.
That sounds
okay,
good.
Great. Serena, what's next for you?
Something we've both watched. Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman. Did you guys watch season one of The Gentleman?
No. No, I looked a little bit of it. It's your man who looks a bit like Kieran Cuddihy, isn't it? Theo James.
Theo James. And he's brilliant in this. It's also Kaya Scodelario. She's back. If you don't know what's happening, we'll just quickly catch you up. In season one, Theo James's character, Eddie, is an aristocrat. And Susie, who's played by Kaya, is a mob... What would you call them? A mob family.
Yeah, she's the daughter. Ray Winston is the kingpin.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking
for. And he's now in prison.
Exactly. So it's up to her to continue running the business. Somehow, we won't spoil it if you haven't seen season one, but Theo James's character sort of gets involved with her. So season one was sort of setting it all up and how are they going to get their drug empire going. Season two is all about how do they keep it going? How do they keep people off their backs? And what type of people do they want to become? Like, in becoming these drug kings and queens, how will it change them personally as well?
Not for the better, I'm guessing.
Sometimes yes, because you've got the money aspect.
They call me old fashioned, but
but it is done so well. I usually don't like this stuff because it's Guy Ritchie, right? So it's gruesome and it's gritty. It's Guy Ritchie, so it's beautiful as well. And I think the characters are fantastic.
And it's very entertaining in that Guy Ritchie way. You're never bored. There's not time to get bored. It just rattles along and along. Vinnie Jones.
I was going to say, is Vinnie Jones in it? Yeah. He's got to be.
He plays the kind of groundskeeper and who's a part of this posh family who's very much involved in their new crime life as well. I'm sorry about all this, but Vinnie Jones and Ray Winston are also on screen time this week because I got to talk to them for The Gentleman too. I really like this because you're never bored.
I think I saw season one, but I can't remember the name of the thing I'm thinking of, whether it was The Gentleman or not, but I think I have seen season one. But I'll ask you off air because I don't want to do a spoiler and then I'll know whether I saw it or not. So it's good? Worth a watch?
I think so. If you like Guy Ritchie, if you like that Lock, Stock and that kind of...
I don't dislike it.
No? Ireland!
I
suppose the question...
Is it
Is he a one-trick pony? That's the question.
No, I don't think so. Okay. Like, the second season is really good.
It's better than the first because it's coming to us. Like, the first, I think, was setting it up. Yeah. And there's going to be a third. Richie's already said there's more
and
coming.
And there's talk of Meghan Markle possibly being involved.
I think that was all just talk.
I think that was talk.
Like, how was she finished? There is no way. Could you imagine she plays the Duchess in it, too?
That would be funny.
Okay, JF.
A last thing for us?
Yeah, there's a really, away from all that, a very unusual Irish documentary called Celtic Utopia about all these kind of folk musicians like the Mary Wallopers, Jinx Lennon from up your neck of the woods.
Well, the Mary Wallopers are also from our neck of the woods.
But there's other musicians in as well.
We say our neck of the woods now.
Yes, indeed. I'm a recent arrival. Well, 10. Anyway, we're getting off topic here. Lancome and Ireland.
Godhead, hurry up there, will you?
I put a heady in the square, you keep it up. See, I'm getting the accent. Where were we going with this? This is a really interesting documentary about the modern folk scene and the things those guys write about. And he has like an interview with the Mary Wallopers in this kind of house pub that they're working and living in and talking about the things that inspire them and the things that make them angry. And there's a guy playing like the mandolin on O'Connell Street and someone jumps into the Liffey. It's a mad kind of look at Irish contemporary music, which I really enjoyed, called Celtic Utopia.
That's definitely worth a watch. And do you have a last one, Serena?
Just quickly, Chad Powers is back on Disney Plus season two. This is Glenn Powell's series. It's a comedy drama. He's a football player who failed in the big league for a reason that you'll find out about, and he comes to play university football, but he comes with a mask and he pretends he's Chad Powers. The first season was about setting him up. This second season becomes about how do they keep the secret, and it's all about the supporting characters as well. It's a bit of fun. The only thing I'd say against it is the seasons are only 6 episodes long and it almost feels like it just ends and it's like, we'll be back for the next season. Yeah. And I just think this probably could have done with 8 to 10 episodes, I think.
Okay.
But it's Disney Plus, you can binge it all now.
Okay. Thanks as ever. Great episode of Screen Time obviously coming up this weekend.
Yeah, do not miss it.
Yeah, good. Thank you sincerely to Serena and to John. The Hard Shoulder
with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.